Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. Later on in the show, we will grab a pencil and find out what you've been watching this week. Got a couple of video titles for you, and I'm digging into the archives because of our main review this week. And friends, I'm a little melancholy. I'm a little sad this week because of the film I reviewed this week. There are times where we reach an age where we kind of outgrow certain aspects of pop culture. It happens to all of us, whether it's TV or music or theater or film, that sort of thing. And I reached a point in that with this film this week. I reviewed Clerks 3. And before I review Clerks 3, I want to give you my timeline with the films of Kevin Smith. Getting ready for this. So Clerks came out in 1994. I was 24 years old. I was working my first newspaper job in West Central Indiana. I was working for the Fountain County Neighbor in Attica, Indiana, living in Covington, and saw Clerks at a wonderfully dingy little art house theater on the campus or near the campus of University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. University of Illinois, and it was one of those moments of a cinematic sweet spot, you know, being 24, single, not particularly crazy about the job, but it had to be done, and to see that film with those guys, it was one of the best movie-going experiences, probably of my life, definitely in my 20s. I could just relate. And even though I was doing a newspaper job as opposed to a video store or a convenience store, which I'll get to in a moment. This is also, for those younger than me, this was at the height of the feeling that young filmmakers could go and do it themselves, DIY cinema. You had this film. You had El Mariachi, Robert Rodriguez's $10,000 film, or so they say. And then a few years prior, in the late 80s, was Hollywood Shuffle, Robert Townsend's feature, which known to his big claim to fame was he maxed out. He financed the film on credit cards. So those films kind of gave us, if they can do it, we can do it, kind of feeling to it. And Clerks is still one of the more quotable films in my realm. My buddy Laura Jansen, I can text her to this day lines from Clerks, which most of which we can't do here. And after my first newspaper job, I wound up moving to the Chicago suburbs, and I was looking for work writing. I wound up freelance writing and wound up managing a coffee shop. And in my spare time, especially on the weekends and evenings, I worked at a video store. I worked at a crummy video store, kind of like the one Randall does in Clerks. So I really connected with it. And, still crack up that a film almost got NC-17 just for language alone. So it resonates a lot. And it's probably one of the more important films, like I said, of my 20s and of the 1990s. Still don't like Mallrats. I know there's a cult following for Mallrats. Universal gave him an ungodly amount of money compared to Clerks, and he made his version of a John Hughes-type teen movie, and I don't care. So there's that. Chasing Amy maybe hasn't aged as well, but at that time was his most mature film, dealing with relationships and lesbians. Dogma. I like Dogma, even though it's all over the place. The other part with these films, now that we're four films deep into the Kevin Smith filmography, is how much Kevin Smith do you allow for yourself? He can be very, very self-indulgent, as is all filmmakers. But how much of his shtick are you willing to take, I guess, is a question. And Dogma, like I said, it is all over the place between religion and politics and strip clubs and Jay and Silent Bob and all of that. So, and then we get Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which makes Dogma seem subtle by comparison. Another big slab of self-indulgence. Jersey Girl, didn't care for Jersey Girl. I didn't want Clerks, but I didn't want Baby Boom either. So there was that. That was 2004. 2006 came Clerks 2, and I wound up liking it in spite of myself. Yes, he had a slightly bigger budget. New characters were added in, except for Rosario Dawson. Didn't really need any of them, but still wound up liking it. In spite of myself, as I said. Zach and Miri Make a Porno, 2008. I own a copy of it. Do not buy the copies that just say Zach and Miri. You know, that's the title. Grow a pair and just live with it. I remember going to a couple stores and couldn't find a copy that said Zach and Miri Make a Porno, and I did. That one was all right. It's the one with Elizabeth Banks and Seth Rogen, and it's kind of Kevin Smith's version of a Judd Apatow film, because despite that title, it has heart, but it's also not 20 minutes too long, or at least not 2 hours and 20 minutes of that picture. So, you know, liked it better than some other stuff. Cop Out, man. I feel bad for Kevin. I really do. And then nobody deserves a filmmaking experience like Cop Out. And I know we are, because of the current ailments of Bruce Willis, we shouldn't speak ill of somebody who's in a bad physical state right now, but you know, he did do a lot of just don't care performances. Cop Out is prime example. Red State, I don't need to see that again. Michael Parks is great in it, and it's kind of two films in one, and the first one is kind of his version of Hostel, but a great performance by Michael Parks, and so kudos for giving him a chance to flex his muscles, stretch his legs. That's it. And then the second half with John Goodman, it's all right. Tusk, even better with Michael Parks in that one. And that one was also kind of okay, a horror film for Smith. Still haven't seen Yoga Hosers. I got to get some strength and check that out. And that's kind of where we are. Hadn't seen Jay and Silent Bob reboot. I know he did episodes of Supergirl and The Flash and The Goldbergs, and there's a TV movie called Hollyweed, which I haven't seen. Haven't seen Kilroy Was Here, which is his other 2022 film. And now we get to Clerks 3. So it's been 16 years since the last one, and it's been nice to see Jeff Anderson as Randall and Brian O'Halloran as Dante kind of grow as actors. Not a lot, not huge growth, but more compared to 1994, if you do this back there. And there are moments where these guys attempt to do some serious emoting. So better for them to do it now than they did in 1994 or even 2006, for that matter. Although there's a nice friendship climax at the end of Clerks 2. But in this one, Randall has a heart attack, and we get a Kevin Smith kind of sitcom hospital experience of when Randall goes and gets treated, and he has an epiphany. He's going to do something worthwhile. He's been sitting on the sidelines and being snarky, well, his whole life. And what is he going to do? He's going to make a movie. And what's the movie about? About working in a convenience store. You could have gone in any other direction than that. if you know the Kevin Smith universe, and I've seen, like I said, most of it, I've already mentioned, there's so much sub-reference inside baseball, and I trust me, I'm a walking, talking inside baseball human being. But to go down that well again, to make a basically your Randall wants to make Clerks, but he wants himself to be the star, and that's where the conflict comes in. Dante has to be the producer; he has to find the finance. So we get a, you know, hey kids, let's put on a movie together kind of story. And I just couldn't go with it. We get the montage. We get the audition montage with familiar cameos who want to be in the film, and some of Kevin Smith's friends, and you know, kudos to Smith for bringing back the actors who played the customers in the first two Clerks films and get them more work. That's what Smith does. I mean, if you're in his bubble, you're going to get work, and that's cool. Every director does that. So you know, that's cute. But to see colorized versions of what he wants, of what turns out to be the first Clerks film, I don't need that. Unfortunately, I don't need that. I wondered how much of it would be our generation is fine, your generation sucks. And yes, there is some easy digs from an old person onto Generation Z. But yeah, you could have done another day in the life of. Now that you guys own the store, that's the other part, is they own the videos. Well, they own the convenience store, and also the video store is now a CBD joint, so to speak. So there's that. So yeah, I just couldn't get on board with that. When we get to the end, and I don't want to give away the ending on this, and it's supposed to be a heightened emotional moment between the friendship of Dante and Randall, but because there has been so much of this universe since 1994, and you think of the films that you know this universe is mentioned in. You could say this is Kevin Smith's version of the MCU. Fine. You've heard me, you know, not be crazy about the MCU, even though the individual films are good and well made. You know, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma to a certain degree, Jay and Silent Bob, Jersey Girl, Clerks 2. Yeah, and you know, he hasn't tapped into that world, although we had Jay and Silent Bob reboot from 2019. Again, I haven't seen that. I need to catch up on that. I would like to see the two films I mentioned I have not seen, or the third one, including Kilroy. I don't know if that's available. But you went to the well so many times that the emotional climax of the film didn't justify it for me. You know, and I'm sure it did for Smith, and I'm sure it did for this cast. And as the closing credits are going, you hear Kevin Smith pop up like a DVD commentary track and kind of thank the audience and talk about how his vision of the original Clerks was in glorious color, and this is kind of how he sees it. And, I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry, I guess, in that case. So, yeah, I don't recommend Clerks 3. I think if you had not, you know, used so much of this universe in other films, maybe recreating Clerks in this movie inside a movie, maybe, and definitely the emotional connection between Dante and Randall would have a bigger payoff for me. But yeah, it's just a whiff and a miss, and I feel bad. It reminds me of, remember when Coming to America was released, the reboot. Basically, they got pretty much the whole band back together, and that's the case with Clerks 3. They were able to get pretty much most of the people in this universe. Ben Affleck has a cameo. Jason Lee and Matt Damon do not. But, you know, most of the sub players and secondary players, and as I mentioned, the one-off actors who play customers get to come in and recreate their moments. So they get a check. That's cool. But, there was also a TV series of Clerks, the animated series of Clerks. So I got it. I think I was done with it. So, yeah, I hate to say it, but yeah, pass on Clerks 3. Go watch the first one. And I will, one of my projects between now and hopefully next week's show is I'm going to try to find Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, Kilroy Was Here, Yoga Hosers. So there you go. But yeah, this was that moment where you've had them where you are watching something, and this is a new film. I still, you know, I own Clerks. I'll still watch Clerks. You know, that's a piece of history, at least for me. And will it age well? Well, we all age differently. But, yeah, but it was one of those just because you could get the whole band back together doesn't necessarily mean you had to. But, you know, they did the tour, and they did the greatest hits. I can't wait to see what the next original album will be like for Kevin Smith, now that I've mixed music and film. So, looking according to IMDb, Twilight of the Mallrats in pre-production. You know, take this as with a grain of salt. Take it for what it's worth. Also announced has been a TV series called Sam and Twitch, a film called Moose Jaws, and a film called Helena Handbag. So it could be, couldn't be, I don't know. But I think the Clerks universe, the Clerks saga is done. But I didn't need the third trip. So there you go. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. A couple of video titles we're checking out. From Film Movement is a drama called Miracle from Romania. We get a story of Christina, who we assume is a nun, leaving a monastery, going to the hospital. And we find out that she is on an interim basis. And finds out that she has to go see a doctor about an abortion. And there is a police officer who is also on the case. This particular film has really long cuts. You have long single-take scenes in cars, in hospitals, outdoors. That kind of helps set the tone of what is happening between this world with this young nun and this police inspector and a cab driver who rapes her. So it's one of those where I know I've been complaining a lot about films needing to be shorter. I didn't mind this one because of the long single take lengths of the film to establish this pacing. It's a well-paced film. Even though it's under 2 hours, it's not, it doesn't move at a fast click, but it moves at the speed it needs to. There's some really good scenes with the inspector, especially there's an interrogation scene in a hospital that is very tense. There's another interrogation scene with the cab driver that's particularly uncomfortable in a good cinematic way. And a nice fake out. We get these a lot in films. Whether it's the, you know, it's only a dream, or the person is imagining what he or she should be doing as opposed to what's actually going to happen. That's an example. That's what happens near the end of the film Miracle here. And it's a really well executed, really well executed fake out in this one. So, yeah, look if you're, and also the fact that, you know, there's the battle between getting the facts from the police and getting the faith from the church. You know, think Agnes of God, but with less screaming. This when it comes to religion, ethics versus the law. But yeah, check out Miracle from Romania on Film Movement. And then from IndiePix is a 2018 documentary called Invisible Imprints. And it's about a group of Boston-based spoken word poets and modern dancers who go on tour. And they do a tour of the Great Migration Trail from Jackson, Mississippi, all the way up to Chicago. And we get to hear the stories of the artists and their own histories with racism in their lives, in their neighborhood. These artists actually get to meet actual freedom riders. We get a visit to the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum. The artists' eyes are opened up even more so. It's not just happening to them, and it's not just happening to them then and now. When somebody makes the comparisons of lynchings from the 19th and 20th century to the police shootings of today, But hearing the culture shocks that the young artists are going through, incorporated with their performances and their spoken word, the film's just about an hour long. And but it's a really cool piece of being able to express yourself and your frustrations and your hopes and your anger through your art. And then these younger artists getting a great history lesson while performing their art on the road. So look for Invisible Imprints, put out on home video from IndiePix. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Before we grab a pencil, we're going to go around the horn and see what's going on in your neck, well, in these neck of the woods. Over at the Tibbs Drive-In this weekend, on screen one, Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul, and Beast. Two African-American centered films, maybe? Yeah. Screen two, The Invitation and Nope. Two horror films. Screen three, Barbarian and Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Okay. And screen four, DC League of Super Pets and the extended cut of Spider-Man No Way Home. All of that is at the Tibbs Drive-In. The Skyline Drive-In is closed this weekend for a private event. They will reopen on September 16th. Nice ability to rent out a drive-in over the weekend. So that's, anyway, reopen on the 16th over at the Skyline in Shelbyville. Over at IU Cinema, depending on when you listen to this, Friday night, 7 o'clock, The Pez Outlaw. The incredibly true story of two men, one international conspiracy, and thousands of Pez dispensers. Friday, September 9th at 7 p.m., replaying it Saturday, September 10th at 4 p.m. Saturday, September 10th at 7 p.m. is part of the Staff Select series from 1989. Yep, Weird Al's UHF. Sunday, September 11th at 1 o'clock, the Abstract Movies, as well as AB, The Life and Work of Albert Bloch. Tuesday, September 13th, Adoption at 7 o'clock from 1975. Wednesday, September 14th at 7 p.m. from 1929, a live music event, Man with a Movie Camera. Live musical accompaniment will be happening with that. Thursday, September 15th. At 7 p.m., the 1968 Franco Zeffirelli film version of Romeo and Juliet. Friday, September 16th at 7 p.m. as a part of New America Cinemas from 2022, Dos Estaciones. Friday, September 16th at 9 p.m. from 1979, one of the first PG movies made by Disney, The Black Hole. All of that is happening at IU Cinema. Over at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin, they have their Century Gala on Saturday, September 10th. So go to the website for more information on that. Congratulations to the Art Craft for 100 years. Wednesday, September 14th at 7:30 p.m. That's Wednesday, September 14th, 7:30 p.m., Mike Nichols, The Graduate. Friday and Saturday, September 16th and 17th. At 2 and 7:30 p.m. from 1967, Cool Hand Luke. And by the way, Mrs. Soci and I finished the Last Movie Stars documentary series on HBO. Highly, highly recommend it. It was really cool to see the dynamic and the ups and downs between the marriage of Joanne Woodward and Paul Newman, who are considered one of show business's great married couples. And it's hard. It's hard work. And we find that out from this series. It's well worth it. In fact, after we finished the documentary series, I put in The Color of Money from 1986. Of course, that's the one Paul Newman finally won the Academy Award for. And it's not a given. It's not a token win. I know the year before he had received a Career Achievement Award. But, man, he's really good in this. I have a soft spot for The Color of Money. I love that combination of Scorsese and Newman and a young, cocky Tom Cruise. Because I went through a period where Cruise is good when he's working with actors who are better than him, because he'll get better. See Rain Man, see Days of Thunder, see A Few Good Men, see this. So, but yeah, anyway, check out The Last Movie Stars on HBO. Cool Hand Luke, 2 and 7:30 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, September 16th and 17th at the Art Craft Theater in Franklin. Wednesday, September 21st. High Fidelity, as a part of their, what was it, Midday Music Midweek Movie Series. And then September 23rd and 24th, Friday and Saturday, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And then September 28th, as a part of their Music Midweek Series, Wednesday, September 28th at 7:30 p.m., Alex Cox's Repo Man. All of that is happening at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. Over at the Can-Can, Breathless, Vertigo. September 11th is the Indie Short Film Showcase, presented by Squid King Productions. Women on the Verge is on the 12th, the hottest August on September 14th. And September 16th, as a part of their free outdoor community family screening, The Iron Giant. Oh, that's fun to watch on the big screen. And then September 17th, as a part of their Black in America Heritage Series, Idlewild. All of that is happening at the Can-Can Indie. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Because of the release of Clerks 3, a great excuse for me to dip into the archives with my 2013 interview with Jason Mewes, who at the time was touring with Kevin Smith, screening the Jay and Silent Bob's Super Groovy cartoon movie. So from 2013, my chat with Jason Mewes. Enjoy. Joining me on Film Sociology, it's been almost 20 years since we got to know this man in one way, shape, or form, and now he's finally on this show. He's going to be coming back to Indianapolis with a new film, a new animated epic. Jason Mewes, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
So I know this is the second Kevin Smith extravaganza coming to town, and I know you're going to be a part of Jay and Silent Bob's Super Groovy cartoon movie. Can you give us a preview of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome because it's going to be like two shows that are somewhat 3 hours of fun for, you know, one ticket price. But it's going to be a cartoon movie, so you can sit down. Go watch a movie. It's been about 70 minutes long. We're not sure. We're still doing a little touch-ups here and there. But get to sit down, watch a movie, animated movie. And then afterwards, we're going to do a Q&A/podcast, which is awesome. And then afterward, we also like the podcast, you know, as usual, at the end, you know, you get to bring 3-4 audience members out. We play a game. You know, and then who knows if, depending on time and our, if we have to leave to, you know, get ready to set off to the next city. If not, you know, I usually stick around afterwards and sign stuff and hang out and all that. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. I'm excited about it for myself, and I'm excited to see how the fans and the people who want to come watch the movie, the audience reaction, getting to sit there with them, watch the movie. You know, to sit there with them and watch it, because I've watched it, of course, and to sit there with other people and see how their reaction is and stuff, you know, it's something I'm looking forward to.
One of the things about this event, and I know Kevin does a lot of these, and of course you're a part of them as well, is that, I mean, you guys are like a band. Whether you got a new film to promote or not, you usually can hit the road and people come out to see you and want to talk and do all that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty awesome. You know, I know Kevin was for years doing his Q&A, stand up or what have you. You know, and I used to go with him and maybe step on stage for 15, 20 minutes. Then I started doing my own Q&As all over Canada and at different colleges and things. And then we started Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, which is a live podcast. And we started touring with that. We went to London and Canada and Australia, and that's been fantastic. And we still do that. We do it like once a month at the Laugh Factory, and we still go on the road with that. But, you know, it's just been slowing down a little bit because now we're trying to focus on touring with the cartoon. So it's been amazing, man. It really has, because, again, you know, I love shooting movies and you know, the process of making movies and getting to see the finished project afterwards. And you know, I've directed a music video and a little PSA, and I've done commercials and stuff, and so I'm just saying, like, it's doing all that is awesome, but it's also fun just going and doing Q&As and podcasts and all that, and getting to meet the people who are watching the movies and watching your stuff, and sit and chat with them afterwards and hang out and all that stuff. So it's really been an amazing 20 years or, you know, or so.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, you mentioned you've produced and you've directed and all that. So you realize the amount of work and responsibility goes with that. So it's nice to know that something like this can be considered a breather for you. I know you're a producer on the movie. How's that experience for you? Because I know you've produced a couple of other projects. How is this one for you from a producer standpoint?
This one has definitely been different and an awesome experience, because this one is actually something I started, I've done from the beginning, and actually had to put in, you know, more work than usual. Like, you know, some of the other things I produced, I've been there and put in some creative points and been there every day to make sure things have gone, smoothly or what have you. But it was pretty easy and everything. This is from the get-go. Kevin gave me the script, and I told him I wanted to produce something from a movie, and he gave me the script, Jay and Silent Bob's Groovy Cartoon Movie, and said, here, man, go see what you can do with it. And I brought it home to my wife, and we sat down and talked about it, and I knew first thing I had to do was see about getting an animator, how much it would be, how long it would take. Then I had to start thinking about who's going to do voiceovers for this character and who's going to be the voice for this character and scheduling sound, sound studios and having them go there and meet and sit there while they went through the lines and just the whole process from beginning to end, and then send over that voiceover to the animator and after, you know, have them animate to it and send me it and say, oh, that's awesome, that's perfect, but can you change this up a little bit? And then Kevin got involved, and he really was stoked that I got my wife and I got probably about 12 to 14 minutes of it done ourselves, and we went and showed it to Kevin, and he was shocked because he forgot all, not necessarily forgot about it, but just didn't know I was going through with it and I had been doing stuff. And he was like, this is awesome, man. I can't believe it. We should get so-and-so to do a voice and this person to do a voice. So that was cool to see his excitement and see him now wanting to really get involved and step into it. And he started redoing some of the script because, you know, he had written it, maybe 5 years ago or so. So some of the jokes were old and all that stuff. So it was really awesome, and it's definitely a great experience, being part of it from the very get-go.
So I watched a trailer on the website, and it seems like this is Bluntman and Chronic Returns or Begins?
Bluntman is involved. Yeah, Bluntman and Chronic are a big part of the movie, and it's pretty awesome. It is definitely, there's the villains. There's, I don't know.
In the trailer, your character, Jay and Silent Bob, he wins a scratch-off, and you decide to become superheroes, course, where there's superhero. So that's why I thought it was a little bit of Bluntman and Chronic Begins, because it's the origin of creating everything that you need in a superhero movie.
Yes, definitely a part of that. I mean, the whole idea is, like, when you see it, it's awesome, because they go through all this stuff, and then they pop up with this idea, and you'll see when, I don't want to give away sort of the,
of course,
it's sort of it's goofy, but you know, they go, the first part of the movie, they're going through some, a good 5 to 10 minutes, they're going through these things that they could have, something could have happened, but then, anyway, so I'm very excited about it, and there's films, but yes, it is a Bluntman, and sort of the origin story, and then it goes on with the villains, and we've got great voices for that. We got Eliza Dushku and Ralph Garman, Neil Gaiman, John Lovitz, Ben Grebe, who does a podcast out here, and just great people have gotten involved with the project, and the editors and the MC Chris, who does a song on it, and he's fantastic. There's a lot of really awesome people have chipped in and made the budget stay at a good price, not too much money, and really just have been psyched about being part of. So,
well, it seems like the film it's also, do we have an official release date, or are we just going city to city like Red State?
Right now, we're going city to city. We have no, we're not even sure what we want to necessarily do with it. At this point, after, like right now, we're focusing on touring it. We definitely want to do, we have the first leg of the tour is going to be 18 cities. We're already trying to set up to do like another 18 to 20. And then we're going to probably do it in like stints of 20 and then just see, you know, from now until at least October, November, we want to keep touring with them, try to get it over to Canada and Australia and London. And then from there, we're not sure. Do we want to try to get it on Netflix? Do we want to pop it up on iTunes and all that? So, you know, the good thing is people, you know, the people who get to come see the show, they'll get to see it, you know, in the theater and then get the bonus of the Q&A and the podcast and be the first ones to see it. But, yes, I definitely want to get it out there some way. I'm not sure, DVD, Blu-ray, what have you, because, you know, not everyone's going to get to go see the show live and while it's on tour. So
right. And it seems like the timing is good because we're coming off of the Avengers and Dark Knight Rises. There's been kind of a flux of superhero movies. And, of course, in the trailer, you guys wrote, the worst thing to happen to the comic book movie since Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Assuming it's kind of at the same time, is this going to be a kind of a Valentine as well as a crotch punch to certain aspects of superhero movies?
Oh, definitely. I mean, yes, there's definitely, you'll get to see the crossover and sort of get definitely plenty of elements. And again, I don't want to give stuff away because
right.
That in itself is a big part of the beginning. And to me, is just awesome. Again, when Kevin gave it to me and I read it and reading through it, it's pretty funny. And especially the comic book people who know comics and stuff, they're going to get these sort of jokes and stuff, and it's going to, you know, it's obvious if you know comics. If you don't know comics, you might miss a couple things, but probably not at this point because you're right. Like, I feel like they're all the comic book movies and how much more aware people are of comic, you know, superheroes and stuff is a lot more now.
For research on this, and I love calling this research, I watched Clerks, Dogma, and Zack and Miri back to back to back. And it's funny, like I said, it's almost next year will be 20 years. First off, obviously, Clerks is one of the most quoted films of all time. Everybody should send you guys a royalty check because we use it so much at work and everybody else. And then with a film like Dogma, where you guys were an integral part of the plot, and then to see you and Zack and Miri, and by the way, we saw way too much of you. Thank you very much for that.
I know.
Harvey Keitel, Ewan McGregor, Michael Fassbender, and you. Thanks. But it's been great to look on, like, your IMDb page and see characters not named Jay and going back and forth between Kevin Smith projects and not Kevin Smith projects. I mean, did Kevin have to check with you this time to see if there's a schedule conflict for you?
No, I mean, not really. It's funny because there are a few things that I'm doing that are, right now, like, it's been the last year has been a big, a lot of stuff we have done together. And, you know, he has some stuff he's working. He did a Fox project, and he's doing a bunch of different stuff without me. And a lot of stuff we're doing together. So, yeah, it's funny when I do sit when he's like, hey, I'm going to come over. Maybe let's record a podcast for Wednesday and announce this or do this. And then I'll be like, oh, man, I'm shooting this thing. I'll be like, wait, what are you shooting? Who are you shooting with? it's pretty funny. But not necessarily check with him. But I definitely, you know, again, a lot of this, we do have a lot of stuff we're doing. We just he directed, and then him and I were in, and I don't know because they haven't announced it, so I don't know how much I want to talk about, but
okay.
There's that new Injustice game.
All right.
Yes, which is fantastic. We got to play a little piece of it, and it's so awesome. It's like, you know, there's Doomsday, and there's Solomon Grundy in it, and Greenlight, all the people you know and people you wouldn't even expect. But anyway, it's a fighting game, and we got to play a little bit. But anyway, it's going to be coming out soon, and we got to do, Kevin got to direct a commercial, and we were in it. And that was just fantastic, you know, to be part of the game and do a commercial for that. So I'm just saying he's, like, doing other stuff, and he's directing other things, and he's writing, he's writing another book now. But a lot of things we do together. But it's been great that I've been able to step out and do some other things, and right now it just seems it sort of has timed out perfect because, you know, we were touring with Get Old and we were doing this in the podcast here at Laugh Factory, but I've done like a movie here, 2 days on this movie, and I'm meeting with someone about doing another movie. Me and my buddy Christian Sesma and Paul Sloan are about to shoot this really awesome web series. We're about to shoot the first 20 minutes of it, and then if it goes well, we're going to keep doing them. But it's such a great concept and idea this guy Paul Sloan came up with. I'm really psyched about it. So we do that next week. So it's cool. I get to step out and do some other things and then still work with Kevin and focus on the tour.
Yeah, and you have an action figure, and you're on comics, and you're on games. You know, you're living the dream, sir.
Definitely. I mean, it's like me and my wife sit around sometimes, and I told her, like, at one point, you know, we were just sitting around. We didn't have a lot going on for a couple, like a month or so, and we were just chatting, and I was like, you know what? I was like, I get antsy if I'm not being productive and working, but I was like, I feel like it's okay to sit around a couple weeks because, you know, how blessed and grateful I am. I've got an action figure, a comic book, and who would have thunk that I'd ever have, you know, who doesn't want an action figure and to be in a comic book and all that? So a cartoon and movies, and I got to do commercials. So I'm definitely grateful, and, you know, I got lucky. I came, you know, I was roofing when Kevin wrote Clerks, the first movie. And even after we shot that movie and he went out to Sundance, I didn't know that you can go to film festivals and people actually buy movies. And if they do buy them, not only do they buy them, if they like your stuff, they offer you to do another movie or maybe two other movies. And so I didn't know anything about it. So, yeah, it was pretty, I lucked out, and I'm very grateful.
If you don't mind me asking, how long have you been married?
I've been married, actually January 30th was 4 years, and we've been together almost, July will be 7 years we've been together.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm married going on 14, and actually one of the first movies my wife and I went to when we were dating was Chasing Amy.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Like 14 years, wowzers. How long, so you've been together like 16 or
about
so,
about
huh?
16, with an 11-year-old daughter, and she's not ready for your work yet.
Yeah,
not yet. Close.
No, I know my niece lets my, like I have a half sister, and her kids are, you know, 23 all the way up to 35 or whatever, and they have kids. And my youngest niece, I call her my niece, but her kid is like 11 and the other one's 14, and she let them watch Jay and Bob. And I remember the 11-year-old was like, you know, singing the F song and stuff. And I was like, how do you know all the words? She's like, we love that movie. But, you know, that's my family. That's why in Zach and Miri, actually, it was like the only thing I was nervous about showing so much. It wasn't like, oh, gosh, people are going to see it and say it's tiny or something. I was just nervous because I'm like, I know my niece is going to let her kids watch the movies because she lets them watch all my movies because, you know, they're all happy for me and proud. And so I was like, oh, you can't let them see this part. Towards the end, when Seth Rogen's banging on the door and she's on the toilet, make sure they close their eyes.
So I'm curious, what movies have you watched recently, new or old?
I watch tons. I haven't watched a whole lot of movies. I'm so into TV. I watch way too many TV shows. Actually, I just was sitting before I called you watching The Following.
Okay.
That new Kevin Bacon show. But anyway, I'd say the last movie that sticks out is my wife wanted to watch it, and we watched Silver Lining Playbook.
Oh, good.
And before that, we watched Argo and then Dark Knight, you know, some of the screeners. So.
Sure.
I'm more into TV, man. I haven't watched, besides watching those screeners, because I was like, oh, I got to watch Argo. I want to see The Hobbit. I want to see Dark. We watched Dark Knight again. But even though I had seen that one a couple times, and then Silver Lining we wanted to watch because our friend John Gordon is producer on it, and we kept hearing all these things and about it, so we wanted to see if it lived up to the hype. But yeah, TV's big in the TV. The Following, I'm watching The Cult. There's a show called The Cult. There's another show, Zero Hour, Suits and White Collar and Bones and. I've watched so many different shows. Arrow, I'm really into right now. I think Arrow's really awesome, and Vampire Diaries, I really dig.
Man, your DVR thumb must be sore.
You know what? I watch it all on Netflix. And except for the new ones, I watch on Hulu. Hulu, I watch the up-to-date ones. We actually got rid of our cable because we honestly never used it. We, like, used it every once in a while. Like when Game of Thrones was on, we wanted to use it because we wanted to have that station to watch it on DVR and stuff. But now with, you know, Hulu is pretty awesome for those week-to-week shows.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't come on Hulu and they're not on Netflix, then I'll iTunes them and buy them.
Yeah.
I've bought way too many iTunes shows. You know, now with the iCloud, it shows you what shows you bought, even if you've erased them and got rid of them. And it's just insane. I go through my list of stuff, of TV shows, and there's like, you know, 300 different shows. And I mean, I definitely have spent a good, you know, $20,000, I'd say, in the last 2 years on iTunes. At least 10,000, 20 might be high, but at least $10,000 on iTunes TV shows in the last 2 years, year and a half.
Well, this is why people should buy tickets to go see you at Butler when the movie comes to town.
Definitely. They definitely need to come see it. And again, besides getting to see the movie, you know, I think the bonus is, because I know it's hard people. I think it's hard for people to want to get out of the house and go drive down to theater and stuff and see stuff. But it's not just getting to see the cartoon and Jay and Bob, which has been, you know, it's been years and years since you've seen Jay and Bob in a live action or cartoon. But you get the Q&A and you get a podcast, and usually we do a Q&A or we do a podcast. And so this is going to be a little unusual. It's going to be a Q&A/podcast. And not to mention, we'll be playing games. We'll play Let Us F, where we bring three audience members up, and, you know, you give them some name like the Indianapolis Ass Slapper. And then you gotta have air sex to that position. You gotta come up with a position and be like, okay, how are we gonna get across the Indianapolis ass slap? So anyway, it's fun. I wish we do that on our Get Old podcast when we tour and we go on the show and people seem to dig it, and it's fun. And so yeah, man, I think people enjoy it. Movie, little intermission for some, you know, get some drinks and whatever else. Then you're going to get a Q&A/podcast, and it's going to be a blast.
Besides age, what do you think has changed the most between the characters Jay and Silent Bob?
I mean, I think the character, I mean, when Kevin rewrites the movies each time, I mean, he definitely, they're the same guys, but they definitely adapt to sort of what's really going on in our life. You know, as you could see, if you watch Clerks 2, like Clerks 2, Jay's talks about being sober and going, you know, getting pulled over with an airbag, like that really happened. You know, it's like, you know, the characters still are always hanging out together. Jay's still always, they're always buddies hanging out, you know, never leaving each other's side. We're always outside selling weed. That's how we make our living out there. So, sort of, if you follow the movies, you'll see. But I'd say as with age, with the actual characters, you know, I think they're just sort of, you know, they're still just being themselves and hanging out and enjoying hanging out with each other and harassing people. Because, you know, if you see later on in the movies, they have money from the movie rights.
Right.
From Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back. So Clerks 2, they go and they buy the Quick Stop and all that business. And, you know, so they have money, but they're still hanging out because that's what they like to do. You know, so I just think they're getting a little wiser and smarter and trying to come up with stuff. And I think, you know, I'd love it if Kevin decides to write another movie to sort of wrap it up. I mean, again, we have the animated, but that's its own story. If we can do another live movie, you know, there's been talks, Clerks 3, hopefully things will work out and maybe that'll happen. But I think there should be a wrap-up saying, like, hey, man, we're not going to be hanging out anymore. Or we will hang out, but we've decided to do this and this and this. We're going to you know, buy our own place, and this is where we're going to stay and sleep, and maybe we're going to have a little Jay and Silent Bob kids or something. I don't know. So, maybe we'll adopt a bunch of kids.
It's great. Daddy daycare. That's great.
Exactly.
No, it sounds like there's just enough gray area to be in between art imitating life, as far as, you know, stuff that's happened in your life, but it's been movie-sized by some writing. And I assume you don't do the tuck dance in public.
Not anymore. That is definitely, that's something that I used to do all the time when I was, you know, 15, 16 years old. I used to do that a bunch, you know. And again, you know, a lot of this stuff is stuff that we, you're right, it's like crossover from real life to that. Like, no, I don't really hang out. I did at one point hang out in front of Welsh Farms with a bunch of my friends. We never sold marijuana, but we used to smoke a lot of marijuana. I don't smoke anymore, but Kevin does, just like the characters. We are best friends. We do hang out all the time. He does talk a lot, though. Not as, you know, he's not quiet like in the movies. And, you know, just a lot of those stories, you know, that you see. Like, I used to yell to women that would walk by, hey, yo, what up, baby? Yo, what up? You know, and I used to pull my junk out and just all different stuff. So there is a good crossover there.
Some things are timeless, my friend.
Yeah, so, you know, it'd be nice to sort of end up, too. Like in real life, maybe we got to put a little, you know, we got to do at least one more movie to sort of show where Jay and Bob are going to end up here.
From 2013, my interview with actor Jason Mewes, who was at that time touring with Kevin Smith and showing the Jay and Silent Bob super groovy cartoon movie. Yes, this reminds me, speaking of smooth transitions, so... you know, just trashing Clerks 3 and then playing an old interview. This is reminiscent of way, way back in my old Fox 59 AM days when I was doing film reviews there with the film critic now known as Gretchen. It was early in our stint doing film reviews. It was a 3-hour show. We were on at the end of hour two. And so this is 2001, end of 2001, beginning of So... and it was a big deal at the time because Fox had gotten onto the press junket. At that time, only Patty Spittler was doing, from in the indie market, was doing interviews with movie stars and doing the press junkets, usually in Chicago, sometimes New York or L.A. And Fox 59 AM got on a press junket, and they were very, very excited. And it was for the film Imposter, if you remember that, with Gary Sinise, Madeline Stowe, Vincent D'Onofrio. It was based on a Philip K. Dick novel. And they ran interviews all morning, all these, you know, the sit-down interviews that you see morning shows do all the time. And they were very happy about that. And then at the end of hour two, my film critic sidekick and I went and just trashed the film, just buried it. And it was leaving a thing in a punch bowl, and they still had an hour to do of the show and play these clips, and became, they kind of circled the wagons and said, despite what our critics say, here's, and oh man, it was awkward, but we stuck to our guns. It's not sports radio where they say you take this position and you take that position. I do remember Dave Brinkers. Hey, Dave. Miss you, man. The following week, we were reviewing the latest Count of Monte Cristo film, and we were asked in advance what we thought of it because they had also got on that press junket. So anyway, yes, to just burying Clerks 3 and dipping into the archives with my interview with Jason Mewes. So give you a chance, read Evan Dossie's review on it. He's way more harsh than I am about it. The other thing I was thinking of is, you know, acknowledge the fact that you had Jason Mewes come up with, you know, say these ridiculous catchphrases, and you did that. There's a back and forth on, oh, wait, I don't talk like that in Clerks 3. We've already addressed this if you're in the View Askew universe. So, whew, I know. I'm still kind of reeling from being bummed out. So, and also the fact that we know Silent Bob can talk. He just doesn't talk a lot, but in Clerks 3 we get hit with a big piece of knowledge of cinema because it's Kevin Smith playing Silent Bob. All right, I gotta stop being grumpy. Let's grab a pencil and find out what you've been watching recently. So hopefully you've been able to watch some movies that are good and new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. We start on Twitter with Social Iso Caitlin. At Sailor Plutoid, I hope I'm saying that right, on Twitter. Watched a bit of Psycho Gorman again. It's pleasantly dumb as a compliment. it's so very into the E.T., Mac and Me, Harry and the Hendersons tropes. All right, thank you there. Ben But Angry writes Clueless. Josie Alma Press writes Count Yorgo. Cool. Not Count Yorga, vampire. I will say this about at the time, you know, I'm recording this week's show. Queen Elizabeth II died, and instead of posting a picture of Helen Mirren or saying, you know, Helen Mirren will take over her position, for you film fans out there, the best quote unquote tasteful piece of satire was breaking news: Queen Elizabeth II dead, Reggie Jackson in custody. For you Naked Gun fans out there, so there you go. Sorry about that. Sorry, not sorry. It's the show. All right. We start on Facebook. We go to last week's post. Thanks, Zuckerberg. Michelle writes, Men in Black 3, also known as just watching Josh Brolin do imitations of Tommy Lee Jones. Kathleen writes, the fastest Indian in the world with Anthony Hopkins. I remember that. Susan writes, please stand by with Dakota Fanning. Oh, I try. Judy writes, no movies, too busy watching Grace and Frankie from the beginning. Very cool. That's all right. I've been meaning to get back to that one. Jamie writes, Tangled, Atlantis, Scooby-Doo and the Ghoul School. Is that the one Jason Mewes does voices on? He did a Scooby-Doo episode. I know that much. See, you know, it all ties back. Scooby-Doo and the Alien Invaders, the 1997 animated Hercules, Edward Scissorhands, the number one ladies detective agency, and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And as she writes, had to because I was in a Mina mood. Well, all right, doctor, hang in there. Justina Savage, who is my assistant director in Lysistrata, which is happening in October as a part of Indie Bard Fest. And Justina writes, Bodies, 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 and 3,000 Years of Longing. Oh, good double feature there. All right, Amanda went to the library, and when she goes to the library, she takes pictures of what she's watched. So Scarface, The Ghostwriter, Horns, yes, I'm screening, Storm Warning, Guarding Tess, and Remember Me. Thank you, Amanda. Never forget, friends, the new video stores are your local library. Never forget that. So if you miss the video store experience, go to your library. Aaron writes Jurassic World. Rebecca writes Swan Song, Destino, and Hamilton, as well as Good Will Hunting. So there's that. Joshua writes Black Phone and The Survivor. David writes Warner Brothers Week on HBO Max. Dune, Almost as Beautiful as Boring. Wow. Matrix Reloaded, meta with musical theater Bad Guys. The Batman, Does It End? And Wonder Woman 84. I couldn't take my eyes off the train wreck. Snyder Cut Justice League, so much better. Should have been two okay movies instead of one bad short one. Thank you, David, and hope you're getting some sleep there, pal. Lou Harry writes, Pinball, The Man Who Saved the Game, Jurassic Park, The Best We've Got, plus some other films without colons in their titles, including Elvis, Crows Are White, Sam Now, Our Completely True Story, Sweet Disaster, and The Moon and Back. Craig writes, Star Trek The Motion Picture, Wrath of Khan, Search for Spock, Voyage Home. Wow. I know, Craig, you watch those in one sitting, right? Oh, by the way, Craig, have fun in the pit for Hands on a Hard Body, which is at Mud Creek Players. Megan writes, The Tender Bar, The Lost Girls, and The Power of the Dog, which is getting a Criterion release very soon. David writes, 3,000 Years of Longing, Honk for Jesus, and Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Maggie writes, Nope, and Contact, obviously. I see, double feature there. Jessica, who is my stage wife in Lysistrata at Mud Creek Players, at Indie Bard Fest. We're fun. You should see our scene together. Anyway, Jessica writes, The Night House, Satur, Ex Machina, Hatching, The Burning, Malignant, and The Empty Man. Daniel writes, The Story of Alexander Graham Bell, Official Competition, and Shadow of a Doubt. Pat writes, Samaritan and Morbius. Robert Muggy writes, The Garden of Delights, The Hunt, Cesar and Rosalie, HUD, Silver Streak, and Elvis. You know, Robert, I've been thinking about revisiting HUD, especially after watching the last movie Stars on HBO. That's always a good excuse to watch Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward films. Doug writes, Torrent, Shall We Dance, the 1937, Shall We Dance, Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, Ship of Fools, Cocoon the Return, The Boys, The Sherman Brothers Story. Gretchen writes, My Donkey and My Lover and I.
Gary writes, The Territory, Wages of Fear, Dead or Alive, Happiness of the Katakuris, and Ichi the Killer. Michael writes, I wake up screaming, 12 Monkeys, Gaslight, Elvis, and Inherent Vice. Andrew writes, Benjamin Button. Scott writes, The Latest Batman, Pattinson makes a decent Cape Crusader. Ross writes, Marcel Duchamp with shoes on. Matt writes, shows me a picture of Noises Off. Yeah, I got to play Selsdon my senior year of high school. Loved Noises Off. And, of course, years and years ago, got to meet Peter Bogdanovich. And I remember asking him, because when the film of Noises Off came out, young theater students like me and my cohorts were deeply offended that they had Americanized the film. And we needed to learn to lighten up, Francis. I looking at it, you have all these solid actors, John Ritter, Christopher Reeve, Michael Caine, Carol Burnett, Mary Lou Henner, Nicolette Sheridan, Mark Lynn Baker, Julie Haggerty. Is that everybody? All doing farce and doing it really well. Act two footage with a single flowing camera is great. So I had to lighten up. And eventually I got to ask Peter Bogdanovich, I said, was it the studio's idea for you to Americanize it or your idea? And it was his. So, and 40-something me did not talk about how teenager me reacted. And that's probably for the best. Anyway, back to the list. Linda writes Licorice Pizza. Mike writes the three Hobbit films of Peter Jackson. Man, those are still going on. Kurt writes Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Christian writes no movies this week, but watch the Woodstock and Three Mile Island documentaries on Netflix. Those count. Documentaries are films. They count, Christian. It's okay. Helen writes Up in the Air and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. And finally, Melissa writes Barbarian. And there you go, friends. That's what you've been watching this week. So hopefully you got some inspiration to watch some movies that are good movies, that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. We are going to end this week's show with a little musical tribute to jazz producer Creed Taylor. Now, stick with me on this one. Creed Taylor, famous for his recordings on Impulse, Verve, and his own label, CTI, in the late 60s and 70s. And on other shows here at WFYI, paid tribute to his work. He produced 10 albums with Wes Montgomery, including those really smooth pop cover albums that Montgomery did at the end of his life and career. Produced Freddie Hubbard, Jimmy Smith, did a lot of the bossa nova stuff for Stan Getz, Stanley Turrentine, just a great producer of jazz. And hopefully you have some of his music in your collection. Why am I bringing it up on the film show? He is also was the producer of Brazilian electronic musician Diodato. Hope I'm saying that right. And Diodato's contribution is his version of Also Spock Zarathustra, a.k.a. the 2001 music, a.k.a. Elvis's music, a.k.a. Ric Flair's music. But for me, it's used brilliantly at the beginning of Hal Ashby's film Being There, the first time Peter Sellers' character leaves his house for the first time in decades and walks out onto the trashed-up streets of Washington, D.C. So we're going to end this week with that. We'll do this again next week. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan. Thanks, Creed. We'll be right back.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
Parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!